There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party.
They're so threatened by the idea that a Conservative speaker might be persuasive and interesting and funny.
One man's vulgarity is another man's lyric. And I would say one person's offensive speech is somebody else's challenging the status quo, rocking the boat speech.
Are you looking for a podcast that contains verbal safe spaces and is free from trigger warnings? If so, you've come to the wrong place. Because we expect our conversations to be filled with rigorous debate, discussion, and even disagreement. Welcome to the Socially Sensitive Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Socially Sensitive Podcast. I'm your host, David.
And I'm Wolfie.
Yay, we're together in Wolfie's studio.
Well, it's Wolfie's living room.
That's good.
Slash studio.
Two mics, that's all you need.
Two mics, a board. Yeah, we're good to go. Well, hey, if you want to sponsor us at your house, we can come to your house and we'll do an episode of Socially Sensitive.
They used to talk about that. Doyle Brunson, the poker player, professional poker player, you say that to if you're still playing poker, you're in the tournament, two chips and a chair is all you need to keep going.
Yes.
So, but I don't know where we're going from here. Nothing planned.
Well, we were discussing people doing random acts of...
Oh, kindness. Mr. Beast.
Kindness. Mr. And, Beast,
Steve will do it.
Yeah, Steve will do it.
You know, he actually just signed this week, which I listened to that podcast yesterday, because Rumble went public yesterday.
Yes. I think that'd be good for him.
And so they were at the bell ringing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO of Rumble and Dave Rubin. Because Dave Rubin is...
Was Dan Bongino there?
He probably was somewhere.
Yeah.
But I know...
Because I think he's a big backer of Rumble.
Right. Because Dave Rubin was who started... What was the name of his? Locals. He mm-hmm. started Locals.
Right.
And Locals and Rumble merged.
Hmm.
So okay. Rumble is the video part and Locals is the processing part. The...
Okay.
More of the transactional part and all of
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and so David Rubin's there, and they had Steve Will Do It was with them there at the net with the.
So I guess since he got demonetized,
he signed an exclusive deal with Rumble.
There you go.
So his content that everybody loves, because when he was on YouTube, he would put up a video.
Mm-hmm.
Every video he put up was instantly millions of views.
Right.
Because people love to see people giving away. I mean, he would go through a Burger King.
Right.
And just, they're doing it for content because they're filming.
Right.
But he would walk up to people just at the tables as they're eating, and he would just introduce himself as a representative of Burger King and just start handing them cash. I mean, it wasn't like he would hand them like $50, $100. He'd hand them like a
stack
ten,
of bills.
Like a 5 or 10 grand stack.
Yeah.
And, And they, they would always, he's notorious for, if you see him and he hands you cash, one of his go-to moves would, because, first, most people are a little apprehensive for that. They think a scam's coming.
Right.
Something that, nobody's just going to give me something for nothing.
Exactly.
They're not the government.
Right.
He would hand it to him, and then because most people have that real puzzled look on his face, he would always, his go-to move was always, oh, is that not enough? And hand him another one. And
I would still probably be sitting there with that stupid look on my face.
And so he would go through that, and then he'd go to the next table, and the next, and then most of the time when he would do that, it usually wouldn't take a minute or two before people start swarming.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the worst in people sometimes tend to come out, and then they want something for nothing.
Right, they want even more
right.
of the free stuff that you're giving away.
But I always think he did a really good job of finding that fine line balance between helping a lot of people and giving a lot to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but not letting people take advantage.
Yes.
They were always real good and quick to control it.
That's just, That's one of the things that I would like to be able to do, is just to be able just to go through and just say, hey, here's money, here's this, here's that. You know, I'd start off with my own family, of course, and then you work your way out into the community and into other places. But just to be that well off to where you could just, you know, I could just walk in and say, like, a cousin's house or my niece or something. It's like, hey, where's your mortgage at? Let me just take care of that.
Right. Which he's producing content in the act of giving. Right. That act of giving is what's producing the content,
right,
which is going to generate that revenue to produce the next video.
Right.
And then the next, and it just continues. That's what his soul was saying.
Big wheel.
If we make $1.5 million this month, we're given $1.5 million. If we make $3 million this month, we're given $3 million. Right. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. So he's basically a nonprofit charity organization in and of himself, because the money that he brings is the money he sends out.
The way he was handling the content revenue, I think.
Right.
Now, he makes money in a lot of other areas, but...
Which is basically probably how he lives.
Right. Because him and...
Sponsors and such.
Right. Well, I mean, he owns companies. They do, like we said, he's a big... Him and the Nelk Boys, they own Happy Dag together. Kyle. Yeah, him and Kyle. But yeah, he... Steve and Kyle, they do all that Nelk Boy stuff, Full Send, the Happy Dad beer, the alcohol, beer, seltzer company, whatever you want. Yeah. They sell supplements too, like gym supplements.
Right, okay.
All kinds of.
Yeah, because after you drink a lot of beer, you need to go to the gym.
You have to recover.
Exactly. Well,
they all do work out. Like, you ever seen Bradley Martin? Bradley Martin's a big part of their group.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who owns the big gym in California, in L.A.,
mm-hmm,
that refused to close during
COVID. Right.
And he was fined, like, he was arrested for it. I mean, they did all kinds of...
Yeah.
And then, of course, he ended up, I think, winning all of his suits. But
good, he should. Hopefully he got all that money that he had to pay in fines back, too. That was one of the dumbest things that we, as a country, has ever done. Okay,
because
they're making it sound like it was some kind of novel. They kept on calling it the novel coronavirus. But we've been dealing with SARS and coronaviruses. I mean, that's where the common cold comes from.
See, Bradley Martin's a big dude.
Oh, he is buff. He's a big old guy.
And so the Full Send podcast is their podcast they started.
The what?
The Full Send.
The Full Send. Okay.
They just started it. It's been less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're who they are, so they automatically immediately get huge guests.
Right.
They've had Mark Cuban, Elon Musk, Donald Trump. Donald Trump's been that's the only interview show like that podcast
that he's done.
That he's done since presidency.
Wow. I wonder if we could get him on this one.
And he told them while they were on it, they did it YouTube. YouTube again.
Of course. They're going to demonetize that one.
No, they pulled it. Oh. It was less than 24 hours. It was up. It got, I think, like 5.5 million views, something like that, in the first few hours.
And they yanked it.
And then they yanked it. And Trump was telling them as they were sitting there recording it.
This is going to happen.
They're going to take it down. And then Kyle kept saying, no, we're not talking about anything. He's like, it doesn't matter. It's me.
Exactly.
They're going to pull
it.
And
that's the whole point.
Right.
It's him, and they're
going to
pull it.
Now, granted, he did start going into the election was stolen. It wasn't real. It was all, you know, he did go into some deep areas that way.
Yeah.
But, and Steve Will Do It actually gave him a presidential Rolex. It's like a 100 grand watch.
Wow.
Was Steve Will Do It's gift to Trump.
To Trump. Wow. Okay. So. That's pretty cool. Just come to speak at my time in Germany, being able to just go down and jump on a train and just go down to the next town or two away from where you're at. It's totally cool.
Yeah.
Totally cool. Lots of fun. I loved going downtown, jump on a train, go up to Frankfurt, go down to Würzburg. It was a blast.
See, we'll be able to do that here 20 years, but it won't be train. It'll be a Tesla taxi.
I hope it's a flying car.
That's never going to happen.
No, oh, don't ever say never.
That's never going to happen. It's too many people, not enough airspace.
Yeah, there would have to be some rules
set
down.
To me, it makes more sense, Tesla, Elon. I always like to bet on Elon. His is underground.
Mm-hmm.
we can do multi-layer underground instead of doing multi-layer above ground.
Right.
Because multi-layer above ground, you got some flying at this elevation, right, some here.
And the directions, too. You right. got 360 different degrees. And not only you got those degrees that you can be flying in, but you've also got several, you got all the, like you said, the different elevations. Right. So you could have multiple people going all over the place. So it's chaos. It's bad enough with just the commercial flights.
Right. Have you watched any of the videos of any of his, the Boring, because, you know, he owns the Boring Company, too.
Right.
Which is,
it's not boring. They're just digging in dirt.
I got a Boring Company hat.
Can you imagine the Boring Company? Yeah. that's the name.
Well, see, he likes,
it's so
he likes,
boring.
Puns like that or meme, you know,
right? Funny. I got you.
It's kind of like he. You
so
know.
He it is actually called the Boring Company.
Yeah, it's because they bore in the ground.
But I love
it's
it. Boring. Yes.
Well, it's kind of like the cars,
uh-huh,
or the Model S, the Model 3,
right,
to the E, the Model X, right, the Model Y,
right, sexy,
sexy. And he wanted to do the Model E,
uh-huh,
but Ford has
the, Model has E. So that's when they did the 3.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's like, all right. So
and you've got to kind of wonder if maybe he's a little bit of a Doctor Who fan, too, because Doctor Who calls his TARDIS sexy.
Yeah. Could be.
Could be.
And, you know, everything, his price to buy Tesla, or not Tesla, Twitter, was... was it $420? $420, 69 cents? Because I know he makes a, he always throws in a lot. He always likes to throw in $420, mm-hmm, and he likes to throw in 69,
right,
in everything. But he,
no subliminal messages there, people.
No.
None at all.
He had so many. A couple of years ago, there were so many people betting against. Oh, we are close to 81.
We are. Wow. That, how sensitive are these mics?
Pretty good.
That's awesome. That was a truck just went by.
He, I got lost there for a second. What was I thinking? Elon, sexy. Oh, so many people were betting against Tesla because, mm-hmm, there's a lot of Tesla haters out there.
Ah, sure they are.
He, and so many people were shorting the stock,
mm-hmm,
and they called them Tesla shorts. So he started selling shorty shorts on their website.
With the Tesla logo on them?
Yeah.
Sweet.
The Tesla shorty shorts.
Tesla shorty shorts.
For all the people who want to short Tesla. but yeah, he's...
The man seems to be a little bit of a genius.
Yeah, he can be. He's a little on the spectrum, which helps.
Well, I mean, you think about it. If he's, like I said, a little bit on the spectrum, and that seems to help... That means he's kind of looking at problems.
All right, he's a little on the far end of the spectrum. Because everybody, I guess, technically is on the spectrum.
Right, it's somewhere. A spectrum. Right, exactly.
He's on the good, positive side of it.
Right. And he's able to see a problem and look at it probably from a different way than we would.
Yeah.
Thus come up with a unique solution, right, to said problem.
When he was on Rogan, that's what Joe was talking to him, asking about how his brain works and how he's... And he... the way he was talking about how what he thinks about and the stuff he goes through a day and like, mm-hmm, I've got this running and all these things running through my head and this idea and all this. And that's what Joe's like, that just sounds exhausting. Which I guess could be, but,
yeah, I wonder how he sleeps at night.
I don't know.
Or how much he sleeps at night. Does he?
On a pile of cash, probably.
But yeah, I'm sure that. Well, how comfortable is that?
No,
well,
actually,
it's probably really comfortable.
Actually, he doesn't own a home anymore. He'd been living in, when he's at the different factories.
He
spends a lot of time. He's got one of those.
Puts an apartment in each one?
Well, he's got a portable that one of the little drop houses, the tiny homes.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a shipping container.
Right.
With a home built in it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That they drop on in the parking lot.
And so and he'll live at the...
He'll live in that.
At a factory.
Like, I'm at this one for 2 weeks or
right,
a
week. And then go to the next one and live right there. And not really
and
have
a permanent
address.
And now I guess they've all got them set up. So now that's where he stays.
Just drives his Tesla from one to the next.
I imagine he flies. Or I imagine he doesn't ever drive himself. I would think that... because he could be doing something while he's being driven.
Well, here's the thing. With the autopilot that Tesla has, he could sit down in the car and it just put his route in and it would take him there And the whole time he could be thinking of something else.
Yeah, but I imagine he has a human driver that does
he
that.
He probably does.
Could you imagine the irony of him dying in a Tesla crash that autopilot? All the haters would love that.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's how the guy who invented the Segway, that's how he died.
In a Segway crash?
Yeah, he drove it off a cliff. He was demoing one of their off-road ones that they had made, and he rode it right off the cliff. Killed him.
Why did he do that?
It was that. I mean, he didn't do it on purpose.
It was an accident. It was an accident. He just couldn't stop her in time or what?
It malfunctioned.
That's not good. That's when you put a dummy on it first and kind of like remote control it.
So I think they were either demoing it for like the press or something like that. But he was one of the Nelk boys where we got to Elon at. He was one of their big guests, which they had Andrew Tate on not too long ago.
Oh, that was a should good one. We express the fact that we got demonetized?
No, that's fine.
Just because we brought the man up.
Yeah, you can't talk about Andrew Tate. It's Tate speech. You can't use Tate speech anymore.
Heaven forbid.
People don't like Tate speech. Everybody needs to be going to Rumble away from YouTube. Everybody needs to be, and Rumble is with where we were talking about their combination merger with Locals is. A lot of that back end stuff too. So they're competing with. Remember when Parler got taken down? They first took them off the app stores, so you couldn't use the app. You had to use just the web service.
Right.
Well, then Amazon, because Amazon owns AWS, which is what almost the one of the hugest percentages of server data.
Right. Server farm.
Farm. Is most people use AWS because that's the biggest, the most, I guess, cost effective. I don't know.
Well, see, now this is that's right there. That is a place where alternative people could probably go and start making server farms of their own.
That's what Rumble is,
and that way they don't have to worry about.
That's the part that I think Locals is bringing to Rumble. Mm-hmm. Is so now. There's no taking Rumble down.
Right.
Because they're
their own servers.
Their own everything, yeah.
But the only way you could do that would probably just be able to deny access to their services or to their servers. And I don't know how you would do that. Oh, I'm sure there's a way.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe.
I would think it would. I mean, I guess it's possible. But you could say the same for the Amazon. We could take Amazon down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of it's possible because it's you know, all denial of service. But most of them use so much redundancy that, yeah, you take down
part of it.
You would have to have millions of computers focused in this area, all these bots hitting this one.
Right.
Which would be fine. You're going to take this one down. But we have so much redundancy that everything's still going to be flowing fine because... Right.
Because you've tried this one and you got it. But there's so many more servers we got going.
Kind of like a battle in a war. I mean, you can take out the soldiers, but you're not going to take them all out.
Right.
But if you do, the war's over. And, I mean, I guess if enough hackers, everything went at all of them, they could, if Russia takes down the U.S., you know. But then you're just better off with just a big EMP attack anyway, so.
Yes, EMP. Emergency Management Protocols. Or is that Electromagnetic Pulse?
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yes. I used to send text messages to Steve, and I don't know how we got on the subject of EMPs, electromagnetic pulses. And he sent back in the text message. He's like, you realize, of course, by us discussing this, that the government's probably listening. And I was like...
Yeah, you're now on a watch list.
Yeah, and I was like, what? You mean me discussing my emergency management protocols? That's the government's going to be concerned about that? And he's like, no, and you know what I'm talking about. And I was like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I probably am somewhere. It ain't like I know how to make one.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just like, oh, they brought it up. Steve might be able to do it, but Wolfie's not.
So. They looked into it and said, we're not following him, but he does communicate with this guy, so we're going to keep following him.
Because he is smart. This guy, not so much.
Let's see what's trending on Twitter right now. Football, 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 football. Catterday. I saw a thing which made me think of how podcasts work, which is clarifies, I guess, why texting doesn't work real well. I saw a little quote thing. It said a rule of communication states that only 7% of the meaning is carried by the spoken word.
Okay.
38% is through the tone of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And 55% through your body language when you're speaking. So when you're speaking like this on a podcast, you're not getting the body language. You're only getting the tone and the word.
Right.
And in text, you're only getting the word.
Right.
I guess we try to use
emoticons. That's why, I guess, why you use emojis and stuff like that. Yeah,
for the, but that doesn't work real well.
No.
I mean, so that's why I guess most people don't, sarcasm doesn't work real well in text.
No, it doesn't.
You know, but I was always taught sarcasm's like lawn darts, only to be used outdoors anyway. So.
Yes. And don't try to catch them when they come down.
No. I remember.
Okay, here we go. We lived when lawn darts were a thing, so.
Well, this isn't lawn darts, but it's pretty similar, a good comparison. I remember going over to Jeff's house.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this nice little compound bow that he had bought.
Right.
So we're out there in his yard shooting arrows.
Into the sky.
Into the sky. And, you know, there's like five or six of us. I think you were there probably some. I know probably. Donnie was there. Tony was there. Robbie was always there. Those were always all kind
we're of. All, we're all hanging out somewhere together.
It's like, shoo, and everybody's like, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. Gone. And then everybody scatters. Because it's, and Jeff's like, stand still. It's like, what's the odds of it coming straight back down? It's not going to happen. The wind's going to carry it somewhere. You're probably going to run right to where they are.
Right underneath it. Yeah.
But I remember we would do that all the time. And then you have to kind of listen for here where it falls. Or sometimes you can see when it falls back low enough. But, yeah, we used to do a lot of that.
Yeah, that was some of the more silly things we did.
And here we are pulling a ton of stuff out of context, completely misinterpreting all of it.
Probably.
Which is what we should not do.
Probably.
There's this.
But this all started because we were talking about acts of random kindness. And it kind of went off the rails into another direction.
There's a football player that makes me think of this. Which I mentioned it to Kelvin last week, and he kind of made fun of me a little bit. But we were talking about football, and there's a college football player that I've been following on YouTube. His YouTube channel is called Hang Time. His name is Michael Kirk.
Sounds like this college football club player might be a kicker.
Yes, he's a punter.
So there you go. That's for the hang time. Well, no.
Well,
when they talk about the kickers, hang time is how long the ball stays in the air.
For some reason, I thought maybe you had actually watched some YouTube and you had come across him. I was going to be a little happy.
But oh, wow.
No, you were just parsing words. That's good.
Well, no, I mean, okay, whatever.
No. I mean, I get what you're saying. I was completely missing the. I mean, I had got the hang time before as Keith a punter. That's you want as much hang time as possible.
Well, you just said a football player. You didn't say who. And then when you told me it was hang time, I'm thinking this kid's probably a punter or a kicker.
But
of some
the way
kind.
When you said that he might be a kicker, I was thinking, oh, he's watched him. He's what you know. But no.
No, I've never actually watched him. But the name of the podcast would lead me to believe, you know, putting A and B together gives me C.
Right. But he does. He has a really good YouTube channel. He plays for Oklahoma.
Right.
So he's a Sooner. Can't hold that against him.
Maybe.
But when I said that, that's when I said that to Calvin. I said, yeah, there's this college football player I've been following a lot. Because we were talking about players going pro and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, this punter. And he looked at me like he was really disappointed because I was following a punter.
And not a quarterback or a wide receiver.
Right. Or a running back or
somebody.
Somebody, you know.
Linebacker.
Cooler. Right.
Safety, something.
And I was like, well, I really like this kid. He has a good channel. He's a senior this year, but he's a good player. He's a big kid.
Can you imagine the kind of content he could get if he's recording at the game? And get like behind the scenes kind of
playing it.
You know what I'm saying?
So I don't think he can do that. But now he does a lot of the behind the scenes.
I mean, from
the
sidelines.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't have time for that either.
Yeah, maybe not.
Punters do. There's a lot of kicking and punting going on into prep. You're always getting ready. Always warming right. up. Warming
you gotta
up,
keep you warm. Up. Gotta keep your leg warm.
But he did a really cool video on because Oklahoma just their new sports facility
mm-hmm.
that they built for all of the players, all the locker rooms, the food areas for the for them, the gym, the where all the indoor practice field, and the school's main sponsor is Jordan. So the shoes and all the t-shirts and the shorts and pants and hoodies and
everything's Nike.
Everything, yeah. So they've got the you know, the logo on Oklahoma with the logo and everything in there. I think it said they paid $375 million for the new facility they built.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is thumbprint access. So if you're a player, you can, every door, every locker to get in your locker, mm-hmm. now it's all coded right. for you specific. They have, he called it a loot locker that they hit every morning. And, you know, it's just a little locker he goes to. It's hits it, and it'll be full of stuff. Might be shoes, might be T-shirt.
The loot hoodies. Locker.
Yeah, that they stuff they're giving them. Because they right. want them wearing
stuff. Yeah.
Stuff to right. promote the school, promote exactly. Jordan, promote everything. But then they're, like, their hot, colds, hot tubs, cold tubs, all the... I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. I mean, you spend hundreds of millions of dollars, it should be.
Right.
But
it's just a really nice facility.
He's a good Christian kid. Witnesses nonstop to everybody in all mm-hmm. of his videos, to all of the other players, to the coaches, locker room stuff, cafeteria stuff. He's always, and then wherever they're traveling to, like last night, Friday night, then wherever they were traveling, before the game, he does a live stream. That's fine. But yeah, he does a, so like wherever they try, I don't know who they're playing. I didn't watch last night's.
Mm-hmm.
But he does a live stream every Friday night from whatever they'll travel to the city that mm-hmm. whoever Oklahoma's playing today. I don't know where they went.
Right.
Or if it's a home game, but. He always does. Here's where they're like last week they played he vlogged the whole trip, the plane while they're on the plane, him and all the other players. Of course, they all flew first class, checking into the hotels. They took them all to dinner. They took them all to the movies. They're all out doing all this,
mm-hmm.
And then he does. Then Friday night before the game, he does a live stream Bible study. And he usually has...
watching him.
Yeah.
While he does
the Bible study.
And so his vlog.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Now, his vlogs usually get millions. So his Bible study doesn't get as much as right. his other.
But still, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And when you think about what it says in the Bible about it, in the end times that the word will be all over, it will be... And you kind of wonder back in the day, well, how's that going to be possible? How are we going to be able to get the word out to every single person on the face of the planet? And then you see this kind of technology happening. You know, first it was like satellite technology and satellite transmissions and stuff like that. But now you've got the ability with your phone. If you were to go overseas, I could probably call you and FaceTime you.
Oh, yeah.
From, you know, me being here and you being in London or Germany yeah. or anywhere,
us
all over the planet.
Us recording this is no different than me at my home or, yeah, me sitting in China.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is China would make it a little tougher. We'd have to go yeah. through
some restrictions.
VPN stuff. But that's not.
Couldn't talk about certain things.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I did a podcast on him a couple of weeks ago, one of the morning ones, just a quick included him in talking about his history because he's he didn't even start punting until the break between him graduating high school and starting college.
Mm-hmm.
He played high school football and he was, you know, great player, but he never even punted
right
until now. He's one of the top punters in the country,
right?
But he because he's a big kid, he's fast. I think he runs like a 4.6 40.
Yeah.
But he played his first year. He did all right in high school, but wasn't like top. But sent out a bunch of YouTube videos, highlight clips of himself promoting himself,
right,
to schools all over the country,
right.
Trying to get
to get somebody to bite,
yeah, recruit, and a school in Pennsylvania gave him a scholarship, so he went to play with them. He played with them the first year, and then transferred to Arizona State, second year, and redshirted, and then his second year there at Arizona. Played, I guess, won whatever punter award, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Went into the draft, put himself in the NFL draft, and got invited to the combine. And he set some sort of bench press record for punters and, you know, because, like I said, most punters aren't
huge. Both, right? Most punters aren't huge.
Yeah. But he, you know, now, busted a few records and, yeah. But didn't get picked.
Right.
Didn't get picked in the draft. So the NCAA allowed him to, they reinstated his eligibility, which has never happened before, really. So he went back.
Well, I really don't see why just going and trying out would deny you your eligibility. I mean, it ain't like you got paid. Do they get paid to go to the combine? I mean,
I don't know. Well, see, they can get paid now. So,
yeah, that's true. They have changed the rules on getting paid in college.
So I don't know if had any. They in the article's claim was it, most of it was because the argument he made with them, blaming COVID. Because of COVID, there weren't as many people coming to games. There weren't as many games. He didn't get as much.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunities for scouts to come and to view him, he didn't have the same opportunity because of COVID.
Right.
Whether it's true or not. I mean, probably. I mean, yeah. I imagine there's something to that. So it was why they reinstated him. So then he went to Oklahoma. And he's a senior this year playing. And you know, he's doing great. So we'll see how he goes next season or next year. As soon as he graduates.
Yeah, the next draft, we'll see. And like I said, if he's one of the top punters in the country, somebody will pick him
up. Oh, yeah.
More than likely.
What is training? Have you watched any of the Netflix, the Dahmer?
No, I have not. I didn't even know that Netflix was doing a Dahmer thing. Like really? Jeffrey Dahmer, the serial killer?
It's really good.
Hmm.
The guy that plays Pietro in WandaVision and plays Quicksilver in the X-Men's.
Right.
Is, I can't remember his name. Not Peter. What is his name? He plays him, and he does an amazing job.
He plays Dahmer himself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
here lately, I have been watching the Rings of Power on Amazon. And let's see, what else? We're rewatching some old Doctor Who episodes. Because they've got them all on HBO.
Sure, you've seen them all. What's up now?
Well, I like them. It's a fun little show. It makes me happy.
Set up your Twitch account.
Let's see, I've been watching a little bit of She-Hulk.
Yeah, we've been doing, Laura and I do She-Hulk YouTube videos, which I know you watch every one of those that we do.
Which I'm kind of on the fence about continuing with Disney, with all the craziness that's coming out of it. But, you know, I don't know. And let's see, what else? Oh, Paramount has a Star Trek. It's a cartoon. It's called The Lower Decks. And I don't think it's necessarily for, because some of the content, I don't think it's for necessarily for kids.
Right.
It's more an adult type thing. And some of the stuff that they get into there, it's kind of funny. And it kind of brings out a side of Star Trek that you don't really think about most of the time, is that the fact that, you know, usually when you're in Star Trek or you're in doing a Star Trek show, it's always about the people that are up on the bridge, you know, the captain, the first mate, and all the people that do their job up, you know, people with rank,
right,
and stuff like that. And the Lower Decks is about all these people that are pretty much the guys that keep the thing running behind the scenes, and just like engineers and just little people.
All the red shirts.
Yeah, basically. Oh, I got a good one for that too. A meme came across my Facebook page, and it was Kirk. He was standing in front of a line of red shirts, and he was like, "Men, we're getting ready to go into battle, and some of you may not make it back." And then they show a picture of who it is they're going into battle against, and he's like, "Oh, scratch that." And do you know who it was he was going into? It was Stormtroopers.
Oh.
The worst science fiction, science fantasy shooters in the world.
Wow.
It does scratch that. Yeah, most of y'all will probably come back.
But Jed Dahmer's. I like it so far. Few people have said, trying to pull out wokeness in it, how much they're pushing it in it. I can see kind of what they're saying because there was the area he lived in is a pretty heavily minority area, but he lived in a really poor area. And the police even make a comment about why he, you know, at one point, why are you living here? You know, it's kind of like these are all crack houses kind of thing.
Right.
And he's like, well, it's cheap.
Right.
So, yeah. But
rent's cheap. I bought this house cheap. And but you fix it up.
The neighbor, she called the police a lot on him for noises, smells, problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they never did anything.
Right.
But because of the neighborhood it was in. And so they're pushing that a little bit, but that's how it was.
Right.
I mean, that's how exactly. It still is.
If you're going into that kind of neighborhood, like you said, with a bunch of crack houses, it's not going to be the fact that you're going to smell strange smells is probably just par for the course.
Right. So,
and it's not really going to raise a red flag. And if you think about it, this just shows another level of the man's genius. And I hate to say this, but genius. I mean, it's totally evil genius. Don't get me wrong, right. Because he's killing people, and I think did he eat them too?
Yeah,
yeah. So, of him planning out his everything he was going to do. It's like, hey, I'll buy this house in this neighborhood where weird smells aren't going to be something that's going to stick out and be noticeable. So yeah, he had anonymity going for him right there.
I don't think that they.
And if, like I said, and if he presented just the minuscule facade of just being an average Joe working, you know, cheap house, that's why I bought it and I'm fixing it up and stuff like that, it'd be a long time before anybody gets to, you know, to be able maybe this guy's something's. Yeah, just another level of his. And of course, it may have just been total just dumb luck on his part.
I think who that knows? Might have been more what it was. It's just that that's all he could afford, and that's where he ended up, and that's what he was. And he, I don't know. There, you know, because he, most of the men he picked up were all young gay men.
Mm-hmm.
But he would use that kind of as a, The one part, you know, he picks this young guy up, has him come, you know, they're in the house and he's offering to pay him and he ends up drugging him. And the guy is, you know, pretty out of it, but tries to escape and gets, the neighbor sees him like out in the hall and ends up out like on the front stoop
right.
of the apartment building. And the police have been called and because, Dahmer left and went to the store to get more beer while he was, I guess, passed out. He comes walking back up as the police and the woman are out there with the kid on the front stoop. Well, he's, you know, so out of it. He can't really say anything, do anything.
Right.
And so Dahmer comes up and says, oh, you know, he's just drunk. He had too much to drink. And, you know, it's my boyfriend. And, you know, at this time, remember, this is the height of the AIDS scare, too. So
right.
They're like, the police, anytime he mentioned gay or anything, police kind of.
Yeah, hands off, kind of back off on it.
Because
there again, Dr. Fauci was putting out misinformation about AIDS and so forth, even back then. So it's not just now he's wrong. He's been wrong a lot.
But the police end up letting him just take the boy back upstairs.
Right.
And
if he was really smart. At that point, he would just let him sober up and go home.
Yeah. I don't say they didn't find bodies. They found bodies, but after they caught him.
Right.
they, you know, it wasn't like they were missing people, because most of the people he was taking, nobody was looking for
anyway.
Or if a few were,
right,
it was kind of like, you know, some street kid or some. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of implying in the some of the monologue that the neighbor has, like in the voiceover talking to herself, kind of. And there's a phone call they play with her calling police, trying to check up to see if the police followed up with him.
Right.
Get an ID, find out if, because she kept saying the boy was underage. She thought he was a little kid, because I think he was only 15, 14, right. 15. But Dahmer kept saying that he was 18. But then, you know, they were like, didn't bother to ask for an ID, get an ID. And they kept, it's fine, just take him, get him.
Yeah.
We don't want to deal with it.
Right.
Their attitude.
Just get him back in the house.
And she's kind of implying that they were doing that because he was a minority.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was either because he's gay or because, you know, I think he was Hispanic. But either way, saying basically if that was a white kid, they wouldn't have let him just go back
right.
with his killer. And I think his family ended up suing the city.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good show. Evan Peters is one that plays him. But he does a really good job. You know, he comes across really creepy and and just messed up in the head. But yeah, have you seen that trailer for? There's a new movie coming out. Dave Bautista is in it. It's called something in the woods.
Drax the Destroyer is coming out with a new movie.
Yeah.
I really think that they give Drax the short end of the stick in those movies, because he's supposed to be more powerful than what they're portraying him as. In my opinion.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of looking forward to maybe him getting back into the good movies, the twist endings. Knock at the Cabin.
I really liked his, Unbreakable.
Yeah, those.
Liked that movie. I really liked that one. That was a good one.
Do you watch the other two?
Mr. Glass.
And Split.
I haven't seen Split, but I think I did watch Mr. Glass.
Yeah, Mr. Glass is, I think, after. Split's the second.
And
Mr. Glass is all so three of them.
So I've missed one then.
Yeah. Because Split is him, you know, because Unbreakable is Bruce Willis' character. Mr. Glass is Samuel Jackson's character. And then Split is a split personalities, multi personalities, not just Split, but multiple personalities of, I can't remember his name, but the three of them are in.
Both those guys are in all three of the movies.
All three of them are in. No. Samuel Jackson's only in the end of Unbreakable.
Right.
And then in Split, he's at the very... Bruce Willis is at the end of Split.
Okay.
And then all three of them are in Glass.
Okay.
He's the other crazy guy in the hospital with them.
Okay.
I can't remember his name.
I'll have to go back and check that out again. So chronologically, which one is supposed to happen first?
Unbreakable.
Well, I mean, I know that was the first movie that came out.
That's when it...
But I mean, is Split and Mr. Glass, are they like going back in time before the beginning of Unbreakable? Mm-hmm. Or is all that stuff happening after Unbreakable?
All of it's happening after.
Okay.
Actually, I think Split happens like right, almost immediately after.
Okay.
What's his name is in Split? James McAvoy. He's young Professor X.
Okay.
In the young X-Men versions.
Right.
Days
of Future Past.
Yeah.
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 That was actually a pretty cool comic book run when it came out. I didn't read all of it, but I did catch a little bit here and there, and I probably should have done more with that. But it was a pretty cool concept.
But yeah, Sixth Sense was his first big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what made M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
And then
That's the one where the little kid sees dead people.
Yeah.
That's what I...
I see dead people. I see dead people.
That, I, you know, I said with all of his movies...
I see redneck people.
Did you ever see The Village?
Is that... I think I have.
All right. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Anybody listening? Spoiler alert. So back in colonial type.
And there's like supposed to be like a curse or something on the village or something like that.
And they're all in there. And
yeah.
Do you remember the ending? Spoiler ending.
No, I don't remember the end of it. I think I just
won't spoil it then.
I think I have seen it. But it's been so long ago. I don't remember.
Old was his newest one. It came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's this tropical island that all these families come to, and it takes place. The whole movie's not real time, but pretty much it's 24 hours. It takes place in one day, the entire mm-hmm. movie, beginning to end.
Right.
And they arrive at this resort on this big tropical island, and then they get shuttled off to this private beach.
Age really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. They find this medical. The medical community finds this area in this. Some they think it's something with the curvature of the mountain, the way that the cove is cut out.
Mm-hmm.
It's causing time to advance there, not relative to the rest of the planet.
Right.
So I think 1 hour is maybe 15 minutes is 1 year. Maybe that's it. 4 hours. An hour is 4 years, but pretty much it's almost a lifetime in a day.
Right.
So the idea is they're using it for
experimenting.
Spoiler. Yeah. Because we want to use medical treatments, cure cancer, cure whatever.
Right.
We can give you a medicine and get 30 years worth of data in 1 day.
Right.
For how this your body react to it, how mm-hmm. you recover
from it. So we can see how safe it's going to be. Right. But we're not going to tell you that you're going to right. have this happen to you.
They just invite all these people who, after they get there, they through conversation and realizing that, yeah, this one's got this heart condition, this one's got this kind of cancer, this one's got whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they give them when they first get there, these like, we have these special drinks we've made, mix, you know, tropical drinks for everybody. Each right. person has their drink,
right.
which has their medical cocktail in it.
Right.
So I guess it's one of those, the ends justify the means kind mm-hmm. of thing. This person was dying anyway. They're stage four in whatever they had.
Right.
Most of them only had a few months left anyway. Well, here's a possible way to cure.
Here's the thing, though. If you're accelerating someone's age at that rate and they've only got 4 months left to live, then they'll die sooner.
Unless the medicine works.
Well, yeah. Unless the medicine works.
And a few of them, that's how they kind of, some of them do. Some of them, they just die pretty quick.
Yeah.
But it's a good show. But that's the twist at the end is everybody.
Well, I don't want to ruin the movie that you got there and the M. Night, because it sounds like a pretty good idea, but there was a Doctor Who episode. I know you're going to hate me for this one.
Which movie? Oh.
A Doctor Who episode.
Right.
The last one, the one with the time moving faster in the cove.
Right.
It was, they went to a planet and it was a facility called Twin Streams. On one of the streams, time was moving at a regular pace. The other stream was for the people that were sick, and it moved a whole lot faster. So if someone, like I said, had just a little bit of time left to die, then you could come there and you could be on your side of the Twin Streams thing, and you could like watch them live out these, what would appear to the ones on the other side to be like years or even months or whatever, but it would only take place in just like a few hours for you, but it would be like a lifetime for them. And you could, the way that they were able to see back and forth between the two streams was they had like this, it was a ridiculously huge prop that looked like a magnifying glass. But you could look through it and you could see from one side of the stream into the other stream. So you could, and what happens is Amy, which is one of the doctor's companions, gets on the wrong, in the wrong stream, and she ends up being, it's accelerated for her time is. So it's like she's, they're only there for, you know, just a little bit of time. But it takes that little bit of time that they're there. It's like 30 years for her.
But yeah, this one is Knock at the Cabin. The way it starts out, or at least from the trailer, is there is this couple, two men and their daughter, two, I guess, gay men, and their daughter is a couple that goes to this cabin in the woods as kind of like a vacation getaway.
Right.
And then all of a sudden come walking out of the woods are these, I think there's four of them, but Batista's, of course, appears to be the leader because just look at him.
Right. Monster. Is it rednecks?
No, he's like dressed in a like a shirt tie, dressed real nice with like these type glasses. And but he talks like, to me, I would put it as he's a far alt-right person, if we're going to use woke stuff, as to how I think they're going to take the movie. Guess.
Yeah. Well, of course, they're going to. And this has been a theme for Hollywood for a long time, is anything on the right or anything, they're always going to use those as the bad guys.
Right.
Just like, and that's not to say that people on the right don't do bad things, because there are. And there's just as many on the left that do bad things. But it just seems to me, and this is just me, that they go out of their way.
Now, this one kind of could fit into the storyline.
Yeah.
I think that's where they're taking it. But
well, that's cool.
He says that they have seen the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's happening. We know we're here to save the world. Four of them. And he believes, Batista believes, that this family, those two men and the little girl, are the key.
Or they're just the ones that rented the cabin and he's crazy.
No, they went there to get them.
Right.
So they specifically are like after them. I think it's kind of like a John Connor kind of thing, a Terminator.
Right.
We've seen the future. This little girl
grows up to do this.
You all have to make a decision.
Right. Now, what the little girl does, is it evil?
Oh, I've seen is the trailer. Haven't seen the movie. And I
thus
don't know.
It brings about like the Armageddon that they're talking about?
They don't say. So
do they want them to kill the little girl?
They don't say. It's just it's very vague. It's a trailer.
Yeah,
I mean, normally they give a little bit too much. Right. But this one gave, I think, just enough to get you. But
get you hooked.
To me, it was kind of like, I could see them taking this is a Pizzagate kind of thing. Here's some nut jobs, alt-right nut jobs, who think they've seen the end of the world coming.
Right.
And you are destroying the nuclear family. I don't know. It might just be a good movie. I don't mind have anything to do with that. I'm just assuming.
Right.
Because not every movie that comes out like that anymore does. It's just a lot to do. I just don't know what M. Night Shyamalan is going to do.
That's true. And it would be a shame that if that's what he ends up turning this into.
Yeah.
It's just on that superficial of a level.
But to me, that would be what I would see, the whole thing, them keeping thinking this is some future, we're traveling, we've seen a vision, we know the future. When the twist is like, no, they're just crazy right-wing people who are nuts. Because the left is going to destroy the world.
With everything, or with the right's going to destroy the world.
Right.
Or will.
Well, no, they think the left is destroying the world.
Right. And it would, like I said, it would be a real shame that with what we've seen from him in some of the movies of his that I've watched and really enjoyed, with the twists and turns and things that go on in it, if that's the level of just that he's at now.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I would expect so much more out of him.
Right. Because to me,
his movie making.
To me, old is, we're going to tell a story that's going to focus on how corrupt the pharmaceutical companies are.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that's what old is.
Right.
The rest of it's kind of meaningless. It's the vehicle to get to that end.
Right.
Is that pharmaceuticals are corrupt. They'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
for.
And they'll justify it any way that they can. I hope it's more than just that, because, like I said, he's incredibly talented.
Yeah, when it comes to making most movies. All his movies. Which, what were some of his others that I had on there? Yeah, The Village, which was, I mean, I like that, the twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I called that. Most of his movies I don't usually catch. Old I got pretty quick.
Right.
The Village I got, which normally I don't. Sixth Sense I didn't get till.
No.
It's a,
no,
it's,
I didn't either.
Till he's laying there in the bed and says, "I see dead people." Uh-huh. As soon as he said, "I see dead people," I was like, oh. When he said that to Bruce Willis.
Right.
I was like, oh, I got it. But it was like, yeah. there was way too many hints beforehand that you should have got it.
Yeah.
And that's what I, you know, talking about.
But he was, like I said, he did it so well. Even though he dropped those little breadcrumbs for you to find and to see, you weren't putting it together until that moment.
Right. That's the movies I like. Then when you go back and watch it the second time, you see this and you see this and you see this. And then you're like, I'm so stupid. I should have got that.
I should have known that this was what was happening.
But yeah, that, it doesn't come out till February next year. But where we got off on this, all of this starting with, was the Generations. I played the Generations, the Paradise clip. But the 1923, the Harrison Ford's character, he is going to be... But Harrison Ford, like we said, all of them, the rumors were that Harrison Ford was going to play the Tim McGraw character as an old man now in 1923.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where they're taking the story, but they came out and said that no, Harrison Ford, he plays Jacob. He's going to be Tim McGraw's brother. And Jacob and Kara, which Kara is the Helen Mirren character, they're the brother and the sister-in-law of Tim McGraw's character. I'm assuming Tim McGraw has died between then and now. He's not around, which we see him in the one prequel shot.
Mm-hmm.
He gets shot in the gut.
Right.
And makes it back to the cabin. And we're assuming he dies there probably.
Right.
And Faith Hill's character then raises the boys. And John is their little boy. He was 5 at the time of... 1883.
This is 1923 is when
1923 is now. So John is now grown. So he was 5 then, so he'd have been born in 78. So he'd have been 45 now.
He was 5 in
1883. So he was born in 1878. So 22 and 23 would 18, be 40. 1878.
But it shows him, it's in 1980. It's in 1888 that they show him at the table, right? Because it's like 5 years later.
He's 10 then.
Okay.
He's 5 in all of the TV show.
Okay.
Now, the other boy, Spencer, is the 5-year-old because it's 5 years later.
Right, okay.
Spencer's not even born yet.
I'm confused.
Yet. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the wrong kid.
Okay, I think, but they have confirmed that Spencer is James and Faith Hill's kid.
Okay.
So Spencer is there. So she must have been pregnant when they're in Montana and when he gets shot, you know, and he comes back and dies.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Those kids, it would be what? They would be what? In 23, 45. They would be,
they'd be 45. 40 for the one and 45 for John.
Yeah. So, I mean, totally. They, yeah.
And their uncle then is the
so after he
Harrison
probably,
Ford's character.
Probably after he gets gut shot and dies, Harrison, the uncle comes out
and raises him.
To runs the farm, right.
The
ranch.
And he's running the ranch at this point, supposedly in 1923 when they get there. And his son, John's son, is because John Dutton Sr., is going to be played by James Dale. So John, the little boy, now grown up,
mm-hmm.
his son is Jack. So that Jack is Tim McGraw's grandson. But he will also be the great-grandfather of Kevin Costner's.
Right.
And so...
Of Kevin Costner's character.
Character. So then when Jack has a son, his son will be... Jack's or Kevin Costner's father, which will be the Dabney Coleman character that we've seen in Yellowstone.
Right. Okay.
And then he has Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner has Casey. Casey has, what's the little boy's name? Tate.
And so we're looking at coming up Tate, on the seventh generation.
Tate is the seventh
that
generation.
That they talked about in 1883.
Right. That was, yeah. So the Spotted Eagle, the one that, the mm-hmm. chief that gave them, basically gave them the land.
Right.
Yeah, Tate will be the seventh generation.
And he's the one that's supposed to give it back to them.
Well, they said they'll take it. And then, you know, well, Tim McGraw said, well, seven generations, you can have
it. And that's one of those little things that you're not really going to put down on paper.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, he just said that flippantly, probably, because in seven generations he's going to be gone, and he's not going to matter to him anymore.
I don't know how Yellowstone starts, comes back, when's it come back? And also in 1923 they added Robert Patrick. He's going to play a sheriff in the show. He's going to be a big character in it, which is, he's, what's his name in Terminator 2? He's the T-1000.
Okay.
So
the one that gets liquid,
the whole, yeah.
The liquid is like the mercury robot,
yeah.
Liquid metal robot.
So,
oh, yeah.
So he's going to be in 1923. But I can't remember when. I thought I had it written down when it comes out. I think it's November. And Sylvester Stallone movie. He's the mobster one. Or not movie, TV show. That Taylor Sheridan that makes all of this is.
I don't know.
Releases the same week, the same night that Yellowstone comes back. It'll be like Yellowstone will come back. Whatever this show, King, I think it's King, not Kingpin, King, Tulsa King. That's it. Yeah, it'll release the same day that Yellowstone comes back.
Okay.
He's a New York mafia guy that's released from prison after 25 years and exiled by his boss to set up shop in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
The Mob King of Tulsa. You got to be freaking, you know, a mob guy in exile to be the Mob King of Tulsa.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you did something wrong. It was bad. It's not bad enough to kill you, but we're going to send you to Tulsa. And you're going to run the mob out there. It's like, okay. It's like being the Mob King of Abingdon. It's like, yeah, you did something kind of stupid. We're not going to kill you for it, but you're going to be the Mob King of Abingdon.
Do you know that the letter Q is the only letter not found in any of the state names?
Yes. Yes, I knew that.
Yeah. Sweet Home, Alabama is a real place.
Hmm.
Sweet Home is the name of the town in Alabama.
Hmm. Nice. Now, was it changed to Sweet Home, Alabama after the release of the song?
I would imagine.
Or was it named that and thus the song was then made? It's like, oh, this place is called Sweet Home, Alabama. Let's write a song. That'll be part of the lyrics.
I imagine it was probably changed after. There's a... I think it was a city in Alaska that changed their name to a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, my gosh.
But New Jersey has a volcano.
I didn't know that. I know that there's one out west in, in the Yellowstone.
It's under. It's
supposed to be like
global
a huge
killer.
If it blows, we're
world
screwed.
Ender.
Yeah.
South Carolina has a place called Monkey Island. And they have over
I do know about that
4,000 rhesus monkeys.
It's out there on the Outer Banks or somewhere, and you can only go on the island if you're like a scientist to study the monkeys.
The state bird for Wisconsin is a plastic flamingo.
A pink one, a big pink plastic flamingo.
Yeah,
nice.
There are more chickens in Delaware than there are people, and you know I looked that up, and that's most states. Like Kentucky, way more chickens in Kentucky than there are people.
Right.
Anywhere pretty much that there's factory chicken farms,
yeah.
There's way more people than...
More chickens than there are people.
Right. Do you know how many chickens we eat?
Oh, my gosh.
A lot.
And not necessarily. We don't even eat a full chicken all the time. It's just like little pieces, parts of a chicken.
Right.
You know?
I saw a video not long ago. That's where the guy was talking to he's talking to these two little hippie kind of people talking about, you know, they were opposed to factory farming and, you know, we have to be organic and we have to do this. And he's like, do you realize without fertilizer, we could not feed the people on this planet?
Mm-hmm.
He said, without fertilizer and with the way the agriculture is today, you know, doing it, you're this grass-fed beef and all this, we couldn't function with the way, we just couldn't produce food enough to feed the people the way it is now.
Right.
The way people consume food now.
Right.
But the Empire State Building in New York has its own zip code.
Hmm. That's interesting.
It's illegal to bury people in San Francisco.
I'm pretty sure it's probably illegal to bury people anywhere unless you have like the
permits. No, you can't have a cemetery. They made it illegal to have cemeteries.
In San Francisco?
In San Francisco. All the cemeteries that were there, they uprooted all of the bodies and moved them out of town.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, did it in 1912. They moved, uprooted every cemetery, every body buried. Moved it all out to a suburb city. It's called Calma, California.
Uh-huh.
Because real estate in San Francisco is too valuable to be wasting it on dead bodies.
Right.
It's their view, I guess.
I suppose so.
So they banned it. And they said the Calma, California has a population of 1,600 living people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's over 1.5 million dead people buried there.
Ooh.
So it's nothing but cemetery.
If the zombie apocalypse were to happen and all these
don't go to college,
don't go there because you're outnumbered.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So the History Museum of Calma sells t-shirts that says it's great to be alive in Calma.
Yes.
I guess most aren't.
Yes, so. It is. That's a whole lot of dead people. I wonder how many of those voted in the last presidential election. You just totally didn't.
Quite a few, probably. I don't know how many. They're all Democrats, though. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's about all we have today. Just want to let everybody know, thank you for listening. If this is your first time, go ahead and subscribe to the show so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And while you're there, be sure to leave us a comment and a review. And you can do that on whichever app you listen to us on, because we're on them all. We're not getting paid on all of them, but we're on them all. we're on Anchor, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google, Stitcher, Overcast, CastBox, Pocket, all of them. And be sure and check out our YouTube channel. We do reaction videos over there and all kinds of videos. But then also you can follow us on Twitter at Socially Sense, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the others at Socially Sensitive. And leave us a comment. Send us a...
I'm sorry.
Send us a... let us know what you think of the show. But always remember, we release this, the full podcast, every week. And then we release the Socially Solo episodes every morning. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. And you have an amazing rest of your day. See you tomorrow. Bye. See you, Wolf.
See you, Dave.
If you haven't already, subscribe to Socially Sensitive on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. And while you're there, leave a review and a 5-star rating. You can also find us on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and all social media platforms by searching the tag @sociallysensitive. Also, check out our website, sociallysensitive.com, and grab some officially licensed products.